Dear Santa, I'm sorry that I'm late in writing this letter to you with my list of Christmas wishes for this year, but I've been rather busy recently putting together Cadillac's entry into Formula One next year. I'm still very busy. Busy as heck, in fact, as I am sure you are too at this time of the year, so I'll keep it short. All I want for Christmas this year is for some terrible weather in southern Germany and Switzerland, roughly in the Neuburg and Himmel regions, for instance. I'd equally gladly accept anything that you can do to thwart the Audi F1 power unit development programme over the winter, because frankly that's the only way Cadillac aren't going to be the last runners on track. Anyway, all the best for the Christmas season. Winter's coming. What do we say in Yorkshire? Yee-haw. Yours, Graham Loudon.
Helo a groeso i bennod arbennig iawn o fy mhodlediad. Welcome.
Gareth has just had a stroke.
I just thought this is the first one. Gareth Jones on Speed Christmas show, or perhaps the second, that we've done from Wales. So it's a sort of a Speed's Christmas with the Wales. A Speed Christmas in Wales.
It wasn't a stroke, it was Welsh.
Easy mistake to make.
How could we ever have worked that out?
He never mentions Wales.
Welcome, Zog. Welcome, Alex. How you doing, boys?
Not bad. Not bad, thanks.
Oh, good. It's nearly the end of the year, running up to the finish line.
Feels like the end of the world where I am at the moment. You probably won't hear it on my microphone, but we're in the middle of Storm Bram at the moment, as in Bram Stoker, Irish name, blowing from Ireland. And man, it is very severe. My house, which is completely detached, has got two gaps down the side, and when the wind blows from a certain direction, they act like double diffusers on the side. You get this acceleration down these two venturis, and it makes an amazing noise. It's quite exciting here at the moment. I'm hoping we survive this recording.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, it's good weather to be hunkered down indoors with a mug of cocoa.
It blowing is. So here it is, as Noddy Holder says. The Christmas season has started. Have you guys started any sort of Christmas planning or preparations at all?
Behind me, out of shot from our video call, is basically a big Mount Amazon. So it's a big pile of Christmas for various people and things. So that's happening. Ordered the bird for Christmas Day. But Saturday is Die Hard Day, so that's when the tree goes up and people come around and we have the ceremonial viewing of Die Hard, where Christmas can truly begin when Hans Gruber falls from Nakatomi Plaza.
You are a man of tradition. You do that every year, Alex, don't you?
I think this is year 10.
Wow.
Maybe 11.
So you have fewer traditions at Christmas, is that right?
I tend to not get terribly excited by Christmas, I guess you could say. But I am running up to our big Christmas poker game, and I've been planning and prepping food, making sure that I don't have to do too much food prep on the night in order that I can concentrate on drinking cocktails and winning at poker.
Right.
Excellent.
A nice way to celebrate, that is.
But I just think, of course, Alex, I guess you will have disapproved, or disagreed at least, with the British public's judgment on Die Hard as a Christmas movie or not.
Look, the British public has proven itself to be untrustworthy when it comes to democracy. So we're not going to take a Guardian poll. I think it was the Guardian I read it in. We're not going to take that for granted. Die Hard is a story about a man who's trying to get to his family for Christmas. It's set on Christmas Eve at a Christmas party, and he comes bearing a Christmas present for his children at Christmas. And at the end, you know, one of the opening songs is Christmas in Hollis, isn't it?
That's a Christmas in Hollis, exactly, yeah.
So, you know, it's Christmassy enough for me.
I think you make the case beautifully. I was going to ask you to make the case for a Christmas movie. You just laid it out beautifully, and I agree with you. It is, of course, it's a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Zog saying that you were prioritising making the food so you could enjoy the event. That's exactly what I did this last weekend for the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. I hosted it. I had a bunch of pals around. Phil, Gwyn, Brandon and Hugh were all here with Indy and Leah, and we had Middle Eastern food. We made proper Middle Eastern food. Homemade baklava dessert. It was unbelievably good. And kebabs, vegan kebabs, veggie kebabs, fish kebabs, cheese kebabs, meat kebabs. It was glorious.
Excellent.
And one of the guys who I share Grand Prix with, you like this, has given me a gift. I'm going to show it on the camera here so you can see it. That is the Ferrari 499P in Lego. What do they call the Lego micro races?
So there's the Speed Champions, which are the big ones, but that looks like a polybag one. So that's like one of the littler ones, right?
It is a baby one, yeah. It's beautifully simplistic.
Very pretty.
And if you compare it to my, what is it, Mini Champs 1/43rd scale model of the same car, it's pretty good. It really is.
Yeah, I know. That's the joy of Lego. You have to work within the limitations of the bricks, but what you can do is you can get a general impression of what's going on.
Yeah, I made a Lego Delta Wing model once. The team who were running it in IMSA linked to it and put pictures of my model all over their website.
Amazing.
I was very excited about it.
It was a good model, that. I remember that.
Yeah, it went through evolution. The first version was a bit ropey, but it got more like it. It was just, I had to build a model of it. I love building models. In fact, I was at a Christmas party the other day. Usually, if I get a cork from the top of a champagne bottle and the stuff that goes with it, the wire and stuff, I can make really nice little models of lunar landers or Soviet lunar cabins or Voyager spacecraft, and they're easily recognisable. Oh, I know what that's meant to be. But this time, all I had to work with was a bunch of crackers. So I built an SLS, you know, the space launch system that NASA are flying, this giant rocket with two five-element solid rocket boosters on the side. It was pretty good. It was recognisable as an SLS.
Excellent.
I love modelling. Are you getting any model stuff? Have you bought yourself any Lego for Christmas, you two?
I
have not, but I think both of you have Lego on your Christmas lists, because when I saw the announcement of the Lego Enterprise, Enterprise D, was it?
Yeah, correct.
I thought, yeah, I know two geeks who will be into that.
It's actually in a box behind me right now.
Well
good
done.
For you.
Here's the wonderful thing. My loving partner, she was at her work Christmas party. We knew it was coming out the night of the 27th, 28th. We knew it was coming out at 1 minute past the 28th. And she also knew she was going to be out and drunk. So I was dispatched. She logged into her Lego account, because she has one and I don't, on my phone. And it was already preloaded in the basket. All I had to do was press go and pay for it. And it has arrived. It arrived last Tuesday, I think, or last Thursday. And it's very, very large. So we're not sure whether we can actually build it in the flat we're in at the minute, because you've been to my house.
Really?
It's not very big.
Big as a pizza, the dish, saucer section.
It's huge. It's about 2 feet long, maybe a foot and a half long.
Get out.
It's
really
massive. Yeah, it's huge. It's really, really big. But it's okay, because we sort of did a lot of Christmas shopping at the Lego shop this year. And we went down on Saturday, and my partner bought a large minifigure, but Santa Claus. So that's now sitting in the living room somewhere.
Okay, I think you've got room in your living room to make that model. You might have to, you know, clear away that
I've got a coffee table that looks like...
You move that out of the way. Come on, you can make it so.
Prioritise.
So we've also got one of my very good friends for Christmas last year got me a Blue Bricks Deep Space Nine. So Blue Bricks used to have the Star Trek license, so they could build little enterprises and things and all that. And he bought us Deep Space Nine, which is quite large. So
yeah. Well, it's a space station, not a spacecraft. It's huge,
it's massive,
right? Wow.
So, yeah.
I've got an ISS in a box over there. Indy acquired it, my youngest son, a couple of years ago, and he's built it, and then it's fallen apart in a box and he's rebuilding from scratch. So that's something I'm looking forward to doing over Christmas. So do you remember building the Unimog with us when Indy and Tycho were small. You came over one Christmas. We couldn't finish it without you. It was so tricky.
Well, you're too kind. I don't think that was remotely true. But I was happy pitch in and give you a hand with it. But no, I remember that. But no, you mentioned the ISS. Yeah, I made that ISS model a couple of years ago. It's a very good model. And it's one of those that, you know, again, gives a very good representation of the thing that it is. And it's just out of arm's reach as I sit here recording with you guys.
Travelling at 17,600 miles per hour at about 340 miles up, isn't it? That's right.
Something like that.
16,600.
A little lower than that. But yeah, the speed's about right. Yeah, it's low Earth orbit. It's low enough that it's just dragging in the atmosphere. So you have to boost it a little bit.
I wave to it every time it goes over. And we see it lots here in North Wales.
Right, hey, there's an ISS spotter app. If you want to know when it's going overhead, you can...
I've got it. ISS tracker.
ISS spotter and tell you when it's coming overhead.
I lost myself in a thought there. I was telling you about the party that I was hosting on Sunday for the Grand Prix. And we now have a new world champion. So before I talk to you about it, Alex,
yes.
I know you're not interested in Formula One, but for someone who's outside of the sphere, did the news break that we have a new British Formula One champion, did it filter through into your
Yes, it did.
Feet?
Well, because I was helping my other half clear out a flat, so we were sort of half paying attention, half not. But yes, the news filtered through. It's nice that it's back in British hands again. It's nice that it's back with McLaren as well, because, you know, I remember McLaren, when I sort of first got into it, was like, oh, McLaren's great, they're doing really well. And then they had years in the doldrums, and now it's fought its way up and become this incredible sort of thing to beat. But yes, I was sort of over the year, it's sort of been drifting in and out that, oh, hang on, a chap called Lando, who I didn't think was British because I don't know anyone called Lando, but apparently it's short for Orlando, fine, was winning. So it's excellent news, very, very pleased. But yeah, that's sort of about it. I heard some drama that Zak Brown was being a bit of a knob or something, but I
think Zak Brown has conducted himself in an exemplary fashion over this season. He's kind of forceful, he's been consistent, hasn't he, Zog? And he supported both drivers.
There's been a certain amount of talk, understandably, over the year about the way that McLaren have dealt with having two very competitive drivers who've both been leading the fight for the World Championship, both of whom could have won it, both of whom have led the championship for a good part of the year. And the way that they've managed race strategy and decisions during the race, and the way they've managed having those two very competitive guys at the front of the field, and the way they've had to deal with the aftermath of certain decisions, either strategic decisions, race strategy decisions, or an incident in the race, whether it was a fluffed pit stop or a penalty or something that's happened. You know, they did a remarkable job of being fair to both drivers and giving us a great show. You know, they've enabled the drivers to race as much as possible. They've had a reasonably light touch, I think, in how they've interfered with things. And, you know, in the end, it's a team sport. At the same time that, you know, we tend to support drivers, it is a team sport. You are racing for the team, and there's a team championship as well as a driver's championship. And on the whole, the team cares more about winning the constructors' championship than the drivers, although the drivers get all the headlines. Credit to Zak Brown and to Andrea Stella in running the team the way they have and in getting the result they have, and kind of validating what they've been doing with the team over the last few years, building them back up from really quite a low point.
Very low point.
And putting them back on top. And no, it was fantastic to see Lando take the championship. And I think he's a great character. He really does seem to be a lovely guy. You know, they're all super competitive and, you know, can be ruthless and elbows out. But he's a very, very worthy winner. And, you know, wasn't it fantastic that we had a race, a final race in the season where the championship was still not decided.
Yeah.
Any one of three drivers could have won it.
I called
and
it.
Those three drivers were, you know, were 1, 2, 3 in the race for most of the time, and it could have gone anyway. You know, you cannot ask for more than that from an F1 season.
I called it. I remember a couple of episodes ago saying this is going to go right down to the wire, isn't it? And I'm so happy when that happens, because it's the crucible, isn't it? The last race, it's the final. There's no dispute over that. Brilliant, brilliant. Coming back to something that you said, Zog, on a show recently, that the thing that you probably need most to win a world championship is either Adrian Newey and a load of money, or a really good team boss. And Zak Brown, I think he's done an amazing job. I think the key moment in McLaren's recent history was when he made the radical decision to sell the McLaren Technical Centre and then lease it back. And that saved them from going bankrupt, losing control of McLaren Racing. And as a result of that action, they managed to stay fluid. They managed to win the World Championship in terms of constructors and drivers, and now are in a financially strong enough position, I hope, to buy the Technical Centre back. Who knows?
Hey.
Who knows? But I thought that was amazing. That was bold. And he's made some good decisions, Zak. Well done. And can we have a small British polite round of applause for Lando Norris, British World Champion?
Yeah, good chap. Well done. Well done.
Very well done. And of course, we must also do something a bit more Belgian to represent his Belgian heritage as well. Oompa clapping. I don't know. Okay, Lewis, if I can have your attention just for one moment, put the TikTok down, please. Thank you. Okay, as a Christmas gift from Scuderia Ferrari, we are giving away 1,000 Ferrari racing caps. Oh, hey, man, that's great. Maybe I should sign every cap. Perfect. I was hoping you'd say that, okay? Here are the caps, and there you go, Lewis, a felt marker for you to use. Oh, thanks, man. Okay, here we go. Lewis, I dropped the pen. Let me try again. Lewis. Okay, 2, 3. Oh, man, I dropped the pen again. Oh, it's going to take ages. 6, 7. Oh, I dropped the pen again. Would you believe it? 998. 999. Oh, drop the pen again. 1,000. Hey, I signed 1,000 caps. That didn't take too long. Well done, Lewis. You signed 1,000 caps in exactly 16 minutes and 56 seconds. Thanks, man. Wow. I mean, that was a hard session. The pen just slipped out of my hand again and again, like it had no grip, man. I had no grip. Lewis, just now, Charles managed to sign 1,000 caps 41 seconds quicker than you. So there is nothing wrong with the pen.
Merry Christmas from Gareth Jones on Speed!
We like playing games at Christmas. I'm hopeless with lots of games, but I like a general knowledge sort of game. I like Trivial Pursuit. And get this, blow me on trumpet. I was in a pub the other day that had the Genius edition of Trivial Pursuit there for people to play. And we went through the questions. And one of the questions is, what is television presenter Gareth Jones also known as?
Not fair.
Not fair. You're a Trivial Pursuit question.
I am.
Amazing.
I am. And if you've got the Genius edition, you'll be able to find that. I took a picture of it. I promise I'm not making this up.
Can I check? Now, this card, this wasn't written in crayon on a little...
No.
Yeah, it's not one of the tabs you get in a packet of Marlboro Lights, right? It's not one of those.
Oh, was it chalk on Welsh slate? No, this is a real card.
Just making sure. That's excellent. Yeah. I would...
Unbelievable. If only it had been, you know, which is Britain's longest running car podcast, Gareth Jones on Speed. I'd have been happier with that. But I'm going to go with that other one. But Zog, you've got a kind of a seasonal quiz for us, or a quiz of some kind.
So I have a quiz for you both. This quiz is called What Has Zog Just Bought?
What has Zog just bought? What has Zog just bought?
Is it Lego or a car?
Well, I will give you a little help here. It is a vehicle.
Oh.
Now,
hooray.
This quiz has rules and prizes.
Wow.
Amazing.
The rules are that you get to guess in turn what I have just bought. If you guess without any clues, you win a pizza and a pint.
Wow.
If it takes you one clue to guess, you win a pizza. Two clues, you just get the pint. Three clues, you get a packet of crisps. This is going to be a regular packet of crisps, okay? They can be nice crisps, but it can't okay. be one of those big packets of fancy super packets.
None of this kettle chips bollocks.
None of this full-size kettle chips. Right. No, I'm you know, it's something right. like a, you know, okay. a £3 packet of crisps.
Not an irregular bag of crisps, a regular bag of crisps.
It's a pub packet of crisps.
Not the sort of bag of crisps that you start eating and then finish and go, oh, God, exactly. I'm disgusting.
Exactly. So those, right, okay. Those are the prizes. And as I say, there are clues are available. You will take turns guessing. You can ask for a clue. And I have six clues here ready to go. But like I say, your prize will be better if you manage to get there without the clues. So it's in your interests not to take your lifelines.
Well, I'm going
to
go first.
Okay, and we're gonna flip a coin to see who goes first.
Okay.
I will happily defer to Gareth because he seems like he's got something in the chamber.
Oh, okay, very good. In that case, there we go.
Okay. I've got an idea.
Gareth is going first. Okay, so round one of What Has Zog Just Bought? Gareth, what have I just bought?
Can I ask you questions about it? Is that how it works? Can I ask, does it have wheels?
I think it's implied in the clues thing that no, you don't get to ask questions. You can ask for a clue.
You've just got to guess.
And I will give you one of the six clues.
Okay, give us a clue, because...
I've already said it was a vehicle. So
right.
Yes, I've already bought... Okay, it's a car. I have bought a car.
Okay, right. So the answer is yes. You've bought a car.
So you can cut out any, you know, bicycle... roller skate, hoverboard kind of...
Okay.
So it's not a pair of Heelys then. Okay, noted.
Mind you, Heelys, pretty neat.
If I get a question right, do I stay in? Is that how it works?
No. The game ends when either of you correctly guesses what I have just bought.
Okay.
It's a one-question quiz. It's a fairly simple quiz.
This is not rocket surgery, Jones. You can do it.
It's a question rather than a quiz, but you know...
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Guess a vehicle.
It's a full-size vehicle.
Hmm?
It's a real vehicle. It's not a model.
He said it's a car.
Again, I refer you to my earlier explanation of the rules. You know, you can request a clue.
Right.
I bought a car. You know, you can ask for a clue.
Okay.
Or you could just go ahead with your first guess.
Okay. Is it for a... Oh, no, I'm asking questions about it. That's what I want to do. I want to ask questions.
Yeah,
okay.
No, you're not allowed to do that. Car. Come on, you're cheating.
So, Gareth, I've got a question for you. What is your guess?
It's a Citroen.
But what kind of Citroen? Name the full name of the car.
Is it an Ami?
Okay, yeah, I need make, model. If you want to go for year and colour, that'd be great. But those are bonus points. No, I'm just after make and model. So, Gareth, your first guess is...
It is a duck egg blue Citroen Ami from 2022.
Incorrect. Good guess. I'd be very happy to be seen around town in one of those, but as it happens, that is not what I bought.
Wow.
See, that was going to be my guess. So,
contestant number two, Alex.
Hello. I will go for a Guards Red 1980 something 944.
Oh, Guards
Ooh.
Red.
Okay, let me just check the envelope here for the answers. Incorrect.
Ah, rats.
Again, a good guess. Plausible, you know.
Mm.
Neither of you are off base there, you know. You're thinking along good lines, but incorrect.
Okay.
Okay, round two. Contestant number one, Gareth from Wales. Gareth, okay, you've had a bit longer to think about it. This is your second guest coming up. Would you like a clue?
Yes.
Or would you just...
Let's narrow it down, because we could be here for months.
Okay, clue time. All right, here we go. Clue number one. There are approximately... 9,360 of these vehicles on UK roads at the moment. 9,360 on the road.
I hope they're not all there at the same time. That would be a terrible confusion. There are 9,000, so they're relatively abundant. I'm assuming it's not a new car. I'm assuming you've bought a second-hand car. Something about, is it... Is it a Fiat 500? No, there's 50,000 of those, aren't there? How many are those?
Oh, there's millions and thousands and millions.
Yeah,
of them.
It's a bit rarer.
Assuming
than
you're
that.
Still thinking out loud, you're not actually going for the guess. That wasn't.
No, I don't know what there's 9,000 of. It's a Porsche.
You've got to say which one it is.
I need a make and model. I'm not going to accept none of these fishing expeditions.
It's a Boxster. It's a Porsche Boxster.
Gareth from North Wales. Is that your guess?
That is my guess.
Okay, let's have a look at the idea. Is the correct answer?
Yay!
Gareth Jones,
no,
you are a winner. You win.
No,
now you
way.
Will see. You get now you have one clue, so you win yourself a pizza. Well done.
Hey!
Excellent. Bravo, chap.
Good choice. Tell us about it, Zog. Tell us about it.
Well, it's a 2004 Arctic Silver Porsche Boxster.
Silver, correct. Well done.
Pretty tidy condition. What more is there to say? It's a magnificent vehicle.
How many miles?
A little over 100,000. So, you know, just nicely run in.
Congratulations.
But it's, yeah, where's those miles? Well, it's obviously 2.7 model.
Ooh,
with
nice.
The glass rear window in the folding roof, which is one of the things when I was looking around and umming and ahhing about exactly what I was after. I wanted the glass rather than the plastic rear window because.
Nicer, isn't it?
And so far it's been a joy to drive. An absolute pleasure. I'm enjoying the novelty of a powered soft top that'll pop up and down on request. I would thoroughly recommend it.
So I am absolutely thrilled for you. First of all, I'm genuinely surprised I managed to guess that, but I do know you well, and we have discussed you buying a Boxster in the past, and I'm thrilled. I know you're fond of the Ami, but of course you're fond of a Boxster, and it was that 9,000 number that helped me work it out. Oh, I know what you've got now, and you must be so happy.
I am, yeah. I had some criteria. It had to be ULEZ compliant, because I'm in the ultra-low emission zone in London, so it had to be something that would not cost me a whole bunch of money every time I move it.
Yeah.
And it had to have enough luggage space to move some stuff around. You know, if I'm taking things down to the local recycling, it had to have a usable amount of luggage space. And it had to be something that I was going to get a kick out of using, not something that would just do the job. Also something that wasn't too expensive. And whilst on the face of it, some people might question whether not being too expensive and having reasonable load carrying ability wouldn't necessarily point you towards a Boxster. Actually, it is surprisingly good on both of those scores. You know, a 20-year-old Boxster is not an expensive car, but is well engineered enough to be a good buy if you find a good one.
Black leather interior,
yeah. But, you know, but between the rear and the front luggage spaces, you can lug a decent amount of stuff around. You can't quite get a sofa in the back like you can with a 944. I would admit that. Then you've got some space on the passenger seat for another big box or so. So, yeah, it's been a joy.
Oh, Soggy, I can't wait to meet her or him or them. I don't know.
I haven't inquired yet. I haven't decided yet. To be determined.
Boxster. Everyone's gone very baroque suddenly. Phil has just bought a Series 1 Audi TT. And it looks absolutely lovely. It is immaculate. You know, they are not a million miles away from each other, those cars, in many ways. Alex, thank you, Zog. That's a great quiz. And with a happy ending, I get a pizza and you get the car of your dreams.
Thanks for playing.
Alex, you got a quiz, right?
I have a question for both of you, seeing as we were told to load up one question into the quiz gun.
Alex's cracking question.
As it's Christmas, imagine we've pulled a cracker. Your question is, what does every single Aston Martin DB5 continuation car have in common other than the fact that it's a replica of a Bond car?
Well, I was going to say all the same colour, but
I was
that's
gonna
implied
say, they're
by
all
a replica of the Bond car.
Yeah, what's it called? Silver, is that what it's called?
Silver Birch.
Silver Birch, that's it.
It's very niche, this, and the only reason I know this weird bit of trivia is because I saw it for myself and then fed it to Gareth Jones on Speed, alumnus Richard Porter, and it is now in one of his books.
Oh!
If I can just probe a little, is this a characteristic or a feature of the car?
No. If I tell you exactly, it's on the bodywork, it is hidden.
Oh. Well, I was going to ask if it is the signature of the guy who rebuilt the engine.
It is not.
Because that would be in the engine bay, not on the bodywork, you say.
Well, it's on the chassis, hidden away.
Hidden away.
Okay, is it something like Q's signature, is it?
Or no. I have a sneaking suspicion you're not going to get it because it is incredibly niche.
Hang on a moment. Is it apart from the original model or something like that?
No.
In the way that the Enterprise, every Enterprise has got one deck panel that has been carried over from a previous model of the Enterprise, if possible.
No.
All starships carry that. Okay, so it's not that. Talked a lot about Trek today.
Maybe a reference to... Could it be something about the one of the registration numbers of the original vehicle in Goldfinger?
No, because all of them have the BMTA plate thing, because they're not road-legal cars. You can make them road-legal, but they're not road-legal because they've got the flippy number plate.
But they have the rotating... Yeah, OK.
I've written an article about this car for a magazine a few years ago, so I should know the answer to this, but I'm diggy
deep. Well,
it's
very unlikely you'll know it unless you saw it. But I know it, I know it's been published because I've read it in the book.
Right.
But the only reason it's there is because I saw it and fed it in.
So go on then. Like okay, tell us.
One more go. Okay.
Okay, you got to guess.
So it's something that's on the chassis. Is it a quote?
No.
Is it a quote from one of the films?
No. Every single one of them, their VIN number has 007 in it.
Of course.
Nice. That's good.
Sweet.
That's good. Well done, Aston Martin.
I was doing a feature for an industry mag at Aston Martin Works, loosely on the car, but more about what Works does. And I was under one on a ramp, and I looked up, and there was the chassis, there was the VIN number, and it had 007 in it. And I went, is that what I think it is? And they went, yes. Is it on all of them? Yes.
Nice. Brilliant. Factoid. Brilliant.
Good.
Well
fact.
Done, Alex. All right, then, I've got one that'll stump you. Gareth's Christmas question quiz thing. Now, I don't know the veracity of this fact, other than I've actually borrowed it from CarWow's website, who seem to be the only people who record this information. Listen very carefully. Based on the number of 3-star rated or above movie appearances of car brands and models, as sourced by the Internet Movie Car Database, a 3-star rated movie appearance denotes that the car has at least been used by a character or been featured in a chase scene, right? So we're talking about cars in films, in 3-star movies.
Mm-hmm.
Given that, what car has appeared in the most movies? Now, I think this is American skewed. I don't know if it's a world answer, but which car brand, and if you can narrow it to a single model, you're doing well, has appeared in the most movies.
Okay, and just to clarify, when you say 3-star, we're after sort of featured vehicles rather than background vehicles.
Cars which featured, you know, they were the chosen car of the lead character, or they appeared in a chase scene, or they were a villain's car. It was a car that was prominent in a film.
As you say, it's American skewed. Is Mustang too far out of the thing? Because there have been lots of Mustangs, and it's very much a hero's car.
The Mustang...
I was thinking along...
Yeah?
That's what I was thinking, to be honest. That was one of my first guesses, yeah. But that's officially Alex's guess, so if it's wrong, it's Alex's fault, not mine.
You are wrong-ish.
Wrong-ish.
Okay, what about...
It's a Ford. You've got that.
Ford Thunderbird.
Nope.
An F-150?
No, very, very good guess. Very, very, and the Thunderbird, very, very, very good guess. When you think about it, it's going to be one of those facepalm answers, I believe.
It's not like a Pinto or something like that.
Nope.
I'm going to go sort of left field. It couldn't be something like a Model T, because in the early days of cinema, there was less choice of cars.
Nope.
Bollocks. like a Ford Hot Rod, like a Model A, because they're hot rodded to buggery.
Oh, that's a good thought. Yeah, I like what you're thinking there.
The answer, my friends, is the Ford Crown Victoria.
Oh, of course it is.
Police cars, of course.
Exactly.
Of course it is.
Every time you see a police car in an American movie, it's a Crown Victoria. They are the, what do they call them? The State Troopers Cruiser. There's a name for them, isn't there? And yeah, they are
ubiquitous. Just looking at these figures, number one, Ford, 10,363, number of appearances this is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chevrolet, 6,508. So Ford almost double Chevy. Mercedes-Benz at third with 5,000. Fiat at fourth with 2,942. Volkswagen at 2,880. I mean, considering that Herbie had his own movie series.
Yeah.
It goes all the way down to Jeep at number 10, 2,119. So the car model that appears in most movies is the Ford Crown Victoria, which is made 1,000 of those 10,000 Ford appearances on the silver screen. Isn't that great?
That's amazing. That's excellent. Excellent. I approve of that. Like it.
That's
good
a
knowledge.
Christmas cracker, that is.
It's Christmas Eve. Snow is falling. The lights are twinkling, and in a cozy Belgian-British household, Formula One world champion Lando Norris is arguing with his mom.
Mom, come on, it's Christmas Eve. I'm a world champion. World champion? Surely that earns me, like, an extra hour? No, bedtime is bedtime, even if you drive in very fast circles. Tomorrow is Christmas. You need sleep, Lando. Circles? Mom, I literally beat Max Verstappen wheel to wheel across 24 races. I'm a world freaking champion, Mum. Surely I can stay up late on Christmas Eve. Even champions need rest. The big man in red will not wait because Lando wants to play FIFA. Upstairs, Lando. Pyjamas. Now. But, Mum, Max and Oscar, even Isaac Hadjar gets to stay up late on Christmas Eve. Are they in my house? Are they? No. Then upstairs, Lando. Unbelievable. I beat the whole grid, but I can't beat my mum. And brush your teeth, Lando. A world champion with cavities? Need more. Not in my house.
And so, on this magical night, the mighty Lando Norris, unbeatable on track, was once again beaten by his Belgian mum.
Christmas with Gareth Jones on Speed.
Christmas time is almost with us or behind us, depending on when you're listening to this edition of the podcast, and gift giving is something that is a big part of Christmas. And I'm going to tell you a little story, Zog, Alex, just before we get into this.
The night before Christmas, on all through the house.
Yes, it's
nothing was staring.
It's almost,
not even a mouse.
Not even a rat.
No. No action.
It was very good, Zoggy. I saw what you did there.
The apartment. There's a great scene with Jack Lemmon and Hope Holiday. Fantastic scene. Fantastic movie.
I've got some friends who are in an all-female Slade tribute act called Sladey. And Wendy, the bass player, is an outrageously talented musician. And she plays a copy of the bass that Jimmy Lee from Slade used to play. He used to play a Gibson EB4. She plays a vintage copy of it, which is a reasonable guitar. But I figured she deserves a better guitar. And I saw a competition online. Win a Gibson EB4. I never enter competitions. So I thought, I'm going to go for it. I bought 5 tickets for a fiver. And I'm going to win this bass for Wendy. And I entered the competition and I got an email back straight away saying, you're in the draw to win the bass. It'll be drawn on Sunday. But just to let you know, you're an instant winner.
Ooh.
And you've won, hang on, walks out of frame to collect it.
You've won Gwyneth Paltrow's head in a box.
A brand new
Blimey.
Music Man by Sterling Stingray 4 bass.
Wow.
That's a bit of a score.
Yeah.
£400 bass. I want a £400 bass. Guitar frenzy. I kid you not. They are real.
Wow. You actually win stuff on those things.
Yeah. And it arrived in days. I can't believe it. My attempt at being... Sorry, putting the bass down there. My attempt to trying to be generous for someone else, gave me a reward.
Oh.
I can't believe that. I didn't win when they drew the competition. I didn't win the bass of Wendy, and there's no point giving her this. This is not the bass she needs. But I will continue to try and win a bass for Wendy. Hey, gift giving's nice, right? Good stuff comes back. You guys, given gifts, right? You know, we usually do virtual gifts on this program, right? What would you buy for the other two? I thought we'd do it the other way around this year. What would you most like to find under your Christmas tree? Alex?
I would like, I have actually been putting some serious thought into this.
Good lad.
Either a 991.2 generation 911 Carrera T in yellow with a manual.
What year?
Please and thank
what,
you.
What, 74?
Pardon?
74?
No. The later, the 991 generation.
Oh, 991. Yeah. I heard 911.
Yeah. So 991, 911. Or a 997 generation 911 GTS. Rear drive manual.
Oh yes, very good.
Ooh, that's a lot of cars.
Nice. Nice, I like the sound.
I was having this discussion the other night with some people, and that's what I would like, please and thank you.
I get the feeling that you're close to actually turning this into a real thing from the way that you've approached this.
I mean, if someone buys my house for a lot more money than it's worth, then maybe.
Right.
Fingers crossed.
But so why these two cars?
Because the GTS is one of the best cars I've ever driven. It was the first 911 I actually had for any meaningful amount of time. And I just really like it. It's a greatest hits collection of bits of 911, because they sort of bought the GTS 911 back for the 997 as a sort of, not a run out, but it was like a, we're going to make this and see if it sticks. And it had a little bit more power than the S. It wasn't as hardcore as a GT3, but it was still a little bit more engaging.
Right.
And it was just absolutely brilliant. And the Carrera T came in again with the 991. And when it first came out, I was quite rude about it because it's a base Carrera. So in the 991, it's like a 350, 360 horsepower, something like that. And they said, oh, we've taken weight out of it. It's like 25 kilos. So basically a hefty lunge.
It's a good lunge.
But you could then spend lots of money on rear steering and things like that, which made it a bit more complicated. And on paper, that looks like a really terrible deal. But actually, in the real world, it's really, really, really good, because it makes the most out of the comparatively little power, because the 991 Carrera, it's not over-encumbered with power, but for what it is and the size it is and the weight it is, but the way it uses it and the way it feels, it's just absolutely magic. So I quite like one of those. I mean, ask me like 6 weeks ago, I would have said a Dacia Duster, because they're the best cars ever.
There they
but
are.
I've bought one of those now, and it's great.
You've bought one?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It's outside. Yeah, I love it. It's bright orange. It's offensively orange.
Good lad. Which one
Excellent.
Is it?
Mm. Oh, look forward to seeing it.
Gen 2 facelift. So it's got heated seats and Apple CarPlay. And that's really all it needed to do. It just needed to be an car.
Yeah.
But it's brilliant at being an car. My partner hasn't driven a car in 20 years. And we thought maybe the first one she drives isn't my Aston. And I needed to turn the Aston into some house. So the Aston has gone. And in its stead, a Dacia Duster. Which some people may seem like a downgrade, but I am much happier driving that through central London.
Yeah, man, I get it.
Fair enough. Yeah, I hear you.
I was thinking of you when I was in India. I saw a car out on the road and I took a picture of it, and I'm going to share it to your partner's Dacia Duster Instagram account.
Ah, Duster_Gram on Instagram.
That's it.
Do please follow it. The more people follow it, the more work she has to do.
But the reason that I wanted to send it to you was it wasn't a Dacia Duster in India.
Is it a Renault Duster?
Correct.
In some markets, the venerable Duster is sold as a Renault.
That's
because
right.
Renault is more of a budget brand out there, so it's sort of more old Clios with boots and things like that. Yeah. So the Duster kind of fits, because it itself is an old Clio, an old Megane on stilts, basically. So yes, do send it over. You shall be credited and loved. You will join the myriad guest contributions she's had. We've had them as far away as Patagonia,
cool.
India. We've had one of the Himalayas.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. We've had some from Africa. And we have some of her friends are in France quite a bit. And so see them when they go over, our little WhatsApp group just fills with Dusters.
And do you think this will be populated over the nativity season? Will there be a light dusting over Christmas?
I hope so. I sincerely hope so.
How about you, Zog? What would you most like to find under your Christmas aluminium unadorned pole?
Well, I think I'd like to find a VIP Formula One 2026 package.
Las Vegas?
I'd like seats, first class flights, and paddock access for every race in 2026. I think that would be...
Every race? You're not asking much.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, I'd go to every race in style and comfort. I think that would be a very fine present. And there's every prospect that, you know, next year should be another cracker with a shake-up of the rules.
Yeah.
There are plenty of opportunities for every team to find some little aspect of the rules they can exploit. And as Brawn did back in 2009, to come up with a winning car where they've previously been lounging in the midfield. You know, equally for teams that are right up at the front and you expect to be doing well, to get it wrong, to drop the ball. And we've got a very strong cohort of drivers. So I think it's going to be an interesting season. And yeah, I quite fancy travelling the world in style and watching every race.
Oh, how lovely.
From a nice seat and having a chance to wander the paddock before every race and soak up the atmosphere.
I can't wait to see the new cars, but I'm going to have to until February. I think we might get a peek of them. Can't wait. I'm with you, Zog. That'll be a tremendous Christmas present. Mine is marginally less ambitious, what I'd like to find under my Christmas tree. Jenna Ortega dressed as one of the Moonbase girls from Gerry Anderson's UFO, you know, the purple wig. That would do me.
Right. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Okay. Does she have a say in this?
Oh, she's absolutely up for it. She messages me all the time to say, I can't wait to put this outfit on and crouch under your tree on Christmas Eve.
Does she also ask for money at the same time and say, I just need £200 and then I'll be
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, okay. Got to say, I enjoy Wednesday. That's a great show.
Yeah, she's superb in that. I love her as Wednesday. Yeah, but as an individual, she's fascinating. You watch her being interviewed. She's got a sparkle. She's alive. I like her. But no, apart from Jenna Ortega, what I really want is a bi-directional home electric car charging port, I think. Because I live in a little avenue in North Wales. I've got a drive, I've got a garageway, I could do off-street parking and I could charge an electric car. I don't own an electric car, I drive an car, my little cactus, my little purple cactus, which is just a device, right? But it's about time that I switched over because I believe in saving the planet and I'd very much like to own an electric car, but it's got to be bi-directional though. Because
you want to go backwards as well as forwards sometimes.
Yeah, hey! Well, indeed with the charge, I want to be able to do that car-to-home thing. So in the event of a power cut up here in North Wales, which does happen from occasion, so in the rural wilds as I am nearly, then I could run my house off the car in the garage. And I think that would be kind of modern. So that would be my idea, whether I actually do push all that through yet, because I've still got a lot of work to do on the house itself before I start spending money on second-hand electric cars. But that's what I'm thinking at the moment. That's what I'd most like.
Neat.
Now,
makes sense.
Hopes and dreams for the future, boys. Should we raise a glass to Gareth Jones on speed and talk briefly? I'm having a can of Coke. Well, Pepsi, actually. Other colas are available.
I'm having apple ties in a wine glass because it's Tuesday and I'm still hungover from the weekend.
I felt that any kind of toasting should be authentic, so I've got some fizz in my glass here.
Good lad. Cheers, boys. Should we salute Gareth Jones on speed with a toast?
It's Gareth Jones on speed. Drinkies.
Lovely. And what are our hopes for the future? What are you looking forward to in the future in terms of cars, Alex, for 2026?
Less cars, more car culture. I hope there'll be a lot less instant dismissal of EVs by virtue of their very existence. I find that really tiresome. It's been going on for a while where you get people on social media and WhatsApp groups and they say, oh, well, I don't like it because it's an EV. It's, well, the acceptance that not everything has to be exactly for you would be great. And there's a couple of tweets that have gone viral going, oh, I just refilled my car and it took 30 seconds flat. Don't get that in an EV. And all these people sort of braying off the bottom of it. It's making fun of something for no real reason. And it's really boring. Not everyone has to like everything.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of Caterhams, but yes. I don't think they shouldn't exist. I just wish the people who really liked them weren't in a room with me a lot of the time. But the blanket, oh, it's an EV, it's rubbish. Just get in the sea.
Get in the sea. Zog?
Yep.
Your hopes for the future? Cars you're waiting to see?
Well, quite a straightforward one, I think. A lot of listeners will be aware, and I'm sure you guys are aware, that Zipcar is closing down in the UK, the car sharing company. Now, I simply like some other company to come along and do exactly what Zipcar has been doing. You know, offer a good, comprehensive, capital-wide, country-wide car sharing service. I've used Zipcar myself on many occasions. I have friends that use Zipcar a lot and make very good use of it. You know, I think at least two people who've given up owning a personal vehicle.
I wonder if they're killing Zip Van as well, because that's the part of it that I've used frequently.
Right, the company is going into administration, is email I've got. I had an email
gone.
Somewhere.
What a shame.
Hang on, I can read you this statement.
Yeah, well, if I know that, Alex, I'm a huge fan. It's a great shame that we're losing Zipcar, and I just love for Zipcar Mark II to come along and do exactly what they've been doing. You know, they don't need to do it better. I guess they need to do it better from a financial point of view because they are, you know, going out of business. But in terms of the service they offered, I always found them to be tip-top.
Mm. You know what, Zog? I forget what it's called now, but there is an alternative. I've used it a couple of occasions. It's kind of like Airbnb for cars, where people loan their cars out over the weekend.
Tura.
That's it. I've used that. That is an alternative to Zipcar for now. It's a different kind of service, but it does work. It does work. Good plan. Okay, what do I want for the future, finally? Well, car I think I'm most excited about is the Ferrari Electrica.
I think you are, and having had my earlier statement sort of goes back on it, but I think you're about the only one who is, because Ferrari's already can plans for its second car, and having spent the summer with a lot of Ferrari owners, the idea of them owning an electric car, I think it's going to be a tough sell for Ferrari. I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with it, but I don't think it's going to be an instant classic.
That's why I'm intrigued by it. I mean, the two reasons are, I think the name is genius, Electrica. It's like electric car or Electrica, Italian. It's just perfect. Yeah. And easier to remember than Puro Sangue. And the fact that it's about as near as Ferrari you get to a shooting brake. You know, it's a sequel to the, what was it, the GT4, it was called,
the
or the
GTC4 FF. GT4 Lusso and the FF.
Yeah. And I love a shooting brake, so I'm very excited about that. Having said that, and I know Alex is going to start jumping up and down now, and probably you too, Zog, I'm very intrigued in the Encore Series 1.
I should like this.
Do you know what this is? I know, Alex, you know what it is. Do you know what it is, Zog?
I should like this.
The Encore Series 1?
Yeah.
Hang on. Off the top of my head, no.
I'll tell you.
It came out last week.
I feel like it's something that I should know from from the way you talk about it.
Yeah. Well, Alex, you describe it.
Well, it's a Restomod Lotus Esprit Series 1, but it's all modern and such. The specs are very impressive, and it's obviously going to be very expensive. But
is this the one that they need a donor esprit?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
And then they'll make the new one on the base. Yeah, I know. Right, yes, I had come across the... Yeah, just to throw it back to you. But from what I read, it sounded like a pretty good project.
Now, I'm going to ruin it for you.
Go on.
They're not going to do it.
It looks like a Hot Wheels car.
Because the wheels are oversized.
Here is a Hot Wheels DeLorean, which is definitely not based on a Series 1 Esprit.
Yeah.
And the wheels are too big, and the front's a bit wibbly-wobbly, and the back's a bit... I saw it, and I was like, that looks like a Hot Wheels car.
Yeah, yeah. It has.
And not in a good way.
Well, I disagree. Mm. I think it looks like the Nomad. You know the way that the Atom is the baby road version, the Nomad is the chunky go-anywhere version, or even a Porsche 959. You know, it's a sports car, but with oversized chunky wheels on it. I think it looks awesome. And the clever trick is, they don't actually build the car on the Series 1 chassis. It's more closely related to the final version of the Lotus Esprit, the revision version, but they body panel it to make it look like the Series 1 Giugiaro Classic, and it looks
wicked. It's a thing of dreams and fantasies, and there aren't going to be many of them, right? How much are they? 5 million quid or something insane like that?
I have no idea. Whenever one of those things comes out, it's like, you can't have one, you can't afford it.
Yeah.
It's for the people who wish they could have one in the 80s or the 70s or the
90s, yeah.
And now have done good and can have it. So it's not even worth thinking about the price. If you have to ask, sir, you cannot afford.
Yeah. So that's the stuff of dreams for me. And one final dream thought, one thing I'd also like for next year, a Ferrari that Lewis can drive.
Oh, yes, please.
As well as Leclerc can.
He deserves another one.
Yeah, I'll second that, 100%.
But we can't actually leave it there because, Alex, you've broken the rules for Christmas for us this year.
Yes, I've broken the rules. Now, I was planning on sending this, but I didn't realise we were going to record today. So with a very big hangover on Saturday, I toddled down to the post office. I've had this thing in my wardrobe for nearly a year with the idea to send it to Gareth. So I've sent you something all the way from London town.
I've got a real Christmas present.
He's got
That's
a
fantastic.
Real Christmas present.
Oh, wow.
It didn't start in London town. I picked it up in a different bit of the world. It is vaguely practical, but also a bit silly.
Wow, great. I love it.
That's a good crossover. Yeah. Nice Venn diagram there.
I'm going to go into it with the scissors because it's in a poly bag for...
Oh, it's in a poly bag.
You've got excuse / reason to wear it, use it, but...
Yes.
But there's a bit of joy in it as well.
If he does wear it, I don't want to be in the room when he does.
It's black.
It's black. Just radioactive.
Oh, I've just worked out what it is. Oh, my trousers. Look at this.
It is, for Zog's benefit as well, legit Dakar black.
I would call that a Dakar towel robe.
Yeah, it's a sort of smock thing, which is why I don't really want to watch Gareth wear it.
With the Dakar logo on it in red on black.
Fantastic.
It is legit Dakar black. It was waiting in a tent for me on January the whenever that I got there at 2 a.m. I was hand baggage only, and I was like, I need to fit this in because I know a man who would appreciate it more than anyone else in the world.
I love
the Dakar.
And then
promptly forgot to send it to you. So,
mate, thank you.
It doesn't help that you don't live anywhere near me now, otherwise I would have bought it round in a carrier bag and been like, there you go.
I would put it on now, but I won't get it over me headphones and me hair and my Starsky and Hutch jumper, by the way. Or it's a bit Val Dunican, really. But, yeah, thank you very, very much indeed. And once more, raise your glasses, boys, and a toast to an incredible year for Gareth Jones on Speed. Thank you for being part of it. Our 20th anniversary is coming to a conclusion. And it was a hoot spending it with you. Merry Christmas, Alex. Merry Christmas,
Merry Christmas, friends.
Merry Christmas. Happy Christmas.
Air the grievances.
Have a wonderful festival season, you guys, and see you two for Series 22. 21 years of Gareth Jones on Speed this year. Bye! Merry Christmas!
Bye.
Oh, we're going to leave you with a song!
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'll leave you with a song. This is Zog and Richard and me and the rest of the On Speed band performing All I Want for Christmas is Some Speed, our original Christmas song, with new lyrics for 2025, recorded at 20 years on Speed. Merry Christmas, everybody!
Bye.
Merry Christmas!
All I want for Christmas is some lover that won't make me broke.
I want a teammate for Max, who's also ace. A Christian Horner to shut his face. Take the batteries out of your Prius. I'll shut for turkey with a Kia seed. All I want for Christmas is some speed. All I want for Christmas is some speed. I don't need loads of presents or even to get off me face. I just want the road to clear and the traffic to pick up pace. If Santa doesn't turn up on his sleigh, then that's just what I need. All I want for Christmas is some speed. Everybody! Me face, bear with me. I just want the road ahead to clear and the traffic to pick up pace. If Santa doesn't turn up on a sleigh, it's just one on me. Electric cars, I want Elon to go and live on Mars. I want people to know Flavio could be a crook. I want Trump to get fucked by a cyber truck. A Porsche EV that Zon can afford. I just want any Ford. All I want for Christmas is some. Sack his son from Aston Martin. All I want for Christmas is some speed. All I want for Christmas is some speed. Save your shopping and your chip and pin. Don't need no toy with no batteries in. When it comes to Christmas, you know what I need. Gimme speed. All I want for Christmas is some speed. All I want for Christmas is some speed. Don't want no shocks, no power drill. Quality street just makes me ill. When it comes to Christmas, you know what I need. Gimme Antonelli speed. All I want for Christmas is some speed. All I want for Christmas is some
show, then please like, share and subscribe. For information on how to contact the show, see pictures, read song lyrics, follow us on social media, or to sponsor this podcast, go to garethjones.tv. Gareth Jones on Speed is made in Wales by Whizbang.
Gareth Jones on Speed!